Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to you all. Your lordship comes to you in the form of Mr. Tommy Lorenzo Hart, a former Christian preacher minister. He is author of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. My Lord would like to share the findings of his 38-year study on the contents of the book commonly known as the King James Bible, but which Mr. Hart says is the Vatican's one and only authorized version of the Bible. Our Father is not a Christian or a religionist. He has come to unravel Vatican deception by decrypting Bible content. Our Lord brings to light the secrets of the Vatican and reveals the now 400-year stratagem with the level-headed study and analysis unlike any other. His Excellency unscrambles the authorized version's confusing text and separates truth from fiction. He defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, and God. His premise, the King James Version, written in 1611, is a book of law, the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white. The Vatican is a governmental body, institution, for the purpose of subjugating all non-white people and undermining all whom they call black or African people worldwide through what Vatican law deemed the curse. All while hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion, using the Bible in perversity and deceit. Mr. Hart's bibliography is the King James Bible, the authorized version of the Roman Catholic Church, a product of the Vatican. So without further ado, I want to introduce the host of the show, my Lord, Tommy Hart. Father, are you with us?
Yes, I am here, Mr. Welch, and thank you. I will speak on things having to do with the plight of Africans, black people, who experienced and endured severe cruelty at the hands of the Gentiles. The Gentiles' leadership rested upon the papacy, Rome, Italy. I will do that which is spoken in John 16, verse 15. It states, He shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. That means I take things from the Bible and I show it to you, the people. If you have not, as of yet, marked that statement as fulfilled, he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. Also, Lamentations 4:22 speaks to this. It says, He will visit thine iniquity. This statement, He will visit thine iniquity, is to the papacy and the Gentiles. And in this message today, we will see what that iniquity is, who the iniquity is against. The title of this program is The Voice of the Poor Man. The Voice of the Poor Man. The Poor Man's Voice. Psalm 140, verse 12. 140, verse 12 of the book of Psalms says, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Certainly, we all know that black people have been afflicted. We've all heard of the slave trade. We've heard that Gentiles took people from Africa and did certain things to them. So we have today the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Psalm 140, verse 6 says, I said to the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. Here again, we have this is a request. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. Psalm 141, verse 1, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste to me, give ear to my voice when I cry unto thee, or when I cry to thee. Psalm 142, verse 1, I cried to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord did I make my supplication. This I, we'll see who this I is, as in, Lord, I cry. I cried to the Lord. We'll see who that voice is, or who is behind that voice. Isaiah 29:19. Isaiah 29:19, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. We'll be talking about the slaves today, black people who were slaves, cast into captivity by the Gentiles. The Gentiles were acting at the word of the papacy. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The statement speaks about the meek. It speaks about the poor among men. There's a statement in the Bible that says, the poor you have with you always. Okay, the poor, the meek. Now, this individual, I cried unto the Lord. This individual, the Lord is the object of his voice. Okay, and he has asked, he has requested that the Lord hear his voice. Okay, we're going to see what the makeup of that voice is. I have been speaking about judgment. The things I will set forth at this time will show reason for judgment. The question of interest is Esther 8:6. Esther 8:6. The question, how can I endure to see the evil that shall come to my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Now, I can take a command out of that verse, or out of the question, how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? The commandment coming out of there is this, or the objective, let's put it like that first. The objective is to see the destruction of my kindred. And the commandment says, see the destruction of my kindred. And with that, we begin. The poor man's voice. What does he request? What is his supplication? Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. This voice of the poor, this poor man's voice, will show, or he will state his case. What is his pleading? We will see. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Let's read Lamentation 4:22. I think I may have read it at the beginning here, but I want to make a statement about it. Lamentation 4:22. Go back to it. He will visit thine iniquity. If you haven't, mark that statement as fulfilled. He, God, the one the Bible calls God, will visit thine, the Gentiles, and the papacy's iniquity. Now we begin the poor man's supplication. Lamentations 5:1, and from there we'll go to Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Now, Lamentations 5:1. Remember, O Lord, what is come upon us. Song of Solomon 1, 5 and 6. Song of Solomon 1, 5, 6. It's just three words which I am interested in both of those verses. In verse 5, it's the first three words. I am blank. The poor man here identifies himself as being a black man. In verse 6, the same thing. Those three words are reiterated. I am black. All right. Next thing about this poor man. Genesis 40, verse 15. He says, "For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. Indeed, I was stolen away." Many Africans were stolen away. Okay, I am black. I was stolen away. Many Africans were stolen away and scattered among the Gentiles in their various places of occupancy and residence. I am black. I was stolen away. Acts 28:20. Things about the poor man. He is describing himself. Acts 28:20. In Acts 28:20, the poor man says, "I am bound with this chain. We know slaves were bound with a chain. They were in chains, of course, so they could not escape, right? Or make their escape difficult. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Black people, I am black. I was stolen away. I am bound with this chain. And bound here means confined, imprisoned. Okay? Kept within certain limits, restricted. The poor you have with you always. The poor are a restricted people. We have many, many black people, and worldwide there are many poor black people. Okay? I am black. I was stolen away from my homeland. I am confined. I am restricted. Job 19:15, the poor man has asked the Lord to hear his voice. 19:20, Job. Excuse me, that's Job 19:15. I am an alien in their sight. Okay, we know that black people were scattered among the Gentiles. Here he says, I am an alien in their sight. Okay? An alien is one who is in a land that is not his own. He's a foreigner. Okay? I am black. I was stolen away. I am bound, confined, imprisoned, restricted, kept within certain limits. I'm an alien, all right? Think about the black people who are where they are as a result of Gentile captivity and the slave trade, the scattering of black people. And in Psalm 142, verse 6, Psalm 142, verse 6, he's still talking to the Lord. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Now, all of these things constitute a prayer, okay? He's talking to the Lord, saying, I am black, I was stolen away. I am confined and kept within certain limits. I am an alien. I am brought very low. And how low has he been brought? He was brought down. He was reduced to the status of a thing, of a commodity. Things that are bought and sold. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. But he goes on. He says, he asks for deliverance. He says, deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Like, we can say that in most of the lands of the Gentiles throughout Europe, America, etc., black people are subordinate to the Gentiles in that most black people work for Gentiles. Okay? part, black people are powerless. Of course, we have a few who rise high, attain high positions and all, but as far as the whole, black people are literally powerless. He says his persecutors are stronger than he. Now, all of these things are descriptive of black people, as I said earlier, who are where they are, those who have been scattered, taken from Africa, their homeland, and scattered among the Gentiles. Listen, now he's asked the Lord to remember what has come upon, he said, us, black people, as a whole. Okay? And here he says, attend to my cry. Esther 7:4 sheds light, or further light. Esther 7:4. Esther 7:4, he goes on talking to the Lord, saying, for we are sold. Now, let me put this in context. He begins, I am black. I was stolen away. I am bound or confined, imprisoned. I am kept within certain limits. I am an alien in their sight. I am brought very low. And here, Esther 7:4, for we. Now, at first he uses the personal pronoun, I. Now he goes to the pronoun, we. For we are sold, I and my people. He's already said he's black. To be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. Exodus 18:3. I missed that. I'll put it in now. Exodus 18:3. Exodus 18:3. Let me make the connection here. He's already said in Job 19:15, I am an alien in their sight. And here in Exodus 18:3, he says, I have been an alien in a strange land. Strange land meaning a land not of his nativity, a land in which he is or was a foreigner, alien. Okay? Well, let's do that once more. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. I am black. I was stolen away. I am bound, confined, imprisoned, restricted, kept within certain limits. I am an alien. I have been an alien in a strange land. I am brought very low. Attend to my cry, for we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. Lamentations 5. Lamentations 5. And we go back to verse 1. Here he says in Lamentations 5:1, consider and behold our reproach. We are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. Consider and behold our reproach. Now, reproach, its significance is cause of shame, dishonor, or disgrace. okay? Something unfortunate, outrageous. We're speaking about the word reproach. Cause of shame, dishonor, or disgrace, something unfortunate, outrageous. Outrageous means having the nature of involving or doing great injury or wrong. Two, exceeding all bounds of decency or reasonableness. Outrageous applies to that which so exceeds all bounds of right, morality, decency, etc., as to be intolerable. Think about what this poor man's voice is saying. Think about it. Matter of fact, he says what? Consider. Consider and behold our reproach. Consider and look at it. Look at it. Okay? So, I am doing what the poor man in Scripture has asked me to do. And what is the commandment to me from the beginning? The commandment from the beginning? Remember, O Lord, what is come upon us. Now he says, consider and behold our reproach, our cause of shame. Many black people, even today, are ashamed of what has happened to them. Many. It's not a good thing that has happened to us, and from whence we've come so far since the Gentile invasion of Africa and conquest of Africa and its inhabitants. Okay? It's not something pleasant that has happened to us. And this is what the poor man in his voice wants all to see, not just the Lord. Okay? Cause of shame. What has happened to the poor man and his people? They lost honor. They were disgraced. Truly, it was unfortunate and terribly outrageous. These things need to be talked about. Why? Because they are in the Bible, and that's my point. The average black person does not know that he is described, he and his people and their plight is talked about throughout Bible content. Now, many of us probably are aware of the statement in the Bible that says, servants, obey your masters. Servant means slave. Even in my Bible, in the little, dictionary, at the back of my Bible, it says, for servant, it says, slaves. And we all know who have served as slaves. We know black people have. That's about the only thing that they teach us, that they teach in school, put in the book. Blacks were slaves. They don't go past that. They don't tell us anything before blacks were slaves. Not in the schools where I taught. The students I have talked to, not that I've talked to thousands, but the students that I've talked to and asked, hey, what does your book say? What are you taught in school about black people? Well, it starts with the enslavement of black people. These things truly need to be talked about everything in the Bible to me is important, and the Gentile invasion and conquest of Africa and its inhabitants, and subsequent enslavement and scattering of black people is central to Bible content. It is central to Bible content. Everything else revolves around that. The Gentile conquest and invasion and all of Africa. Even the judgment I have been talking about for weeks comes out of that very thing. What thing? The thing of the Gentiles' invasion and conquest of Africa and its inhabitants. The judgment comes as a result or consequence of those actions the Gentiles took against black people at the word of the papacy, Rome, Italy. And just to think that the Bible has this much information about that, that's a wow statement. W-O-W, wow. Wow, I didn't know that. Because one time in my life, I didn't know this. All I knew about the Bible was what I was told. Jesus died for your sins. That's all I knew. He walked on water. He healed people. He was a good man. He was a righteous man. He was the Son of God. That's all. That's what I was taught, and that's all I knew. All of this other stuff constituting the almost 60 episodes of Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast, I did not know. Didn't know anything about the papacy's objectives against Africa and its inhabitants, which I call the curse because it fits the definition of a curse. Okay? I didn't know anything about the papacy's Passover law that is in the Bible that gives the Gentiles the command to teach deceit, teach people, teach the ignorant and unlearned lies. I didn't know anything about the law of God. I didn't know that the Bible describes God in detail. It tells what he will do. And you can, and the people can know God, you know, by his works. I didn't know that. And that when this individual comes forth, the Bible commands him to reveal himself to the Gentiles, to the people. Reveal himself. Psalm 94, verse 1. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. And then a statement in Matthew 8:4, I believe, but somewhere in the book of Matthew, that says to God, this individual who fits the description of God, show thyself to the priest. One of the definitions of show is what? Reveal, make known. Just as it says in Psalm 94, verse 1, show thyself. But these are things that I didn't know. And certainly, I did not know that the Bible talks about the Gentiles' invasion, conquest, and subsequent scattering and enslavement of black people. I did not know. No preacher ever told me. No minister ever showed me. Huh? And I'm talking about details. The Bible gives pictures, presents things in pictures. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I will speak from Ezekiel 36, verse 6. Now for the announcements.
Thank you, Father. To the listeners, if you would like to receive your copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, go to www.lawmaster.co. That's www.lawmaster.co. On the left side of the webpage, click the manuscript and the PayPal button inscribed Donate. For a $12 donation, you will be redirected to a link and download your very own copy in PDF format. Also, become a member to the website and post videos, photos, and take advantage of the links, free books, and email feature amongst members. You can also visit us on YouTube. Go to www.youtube.com/lawofgods. Again, youtube.com/lawofgods. One word. You can find Mr. Hart on Facebook. Simply type The Book of the Law of God. You may post on the news feed any stories, links, videos, and articles relating to the context of the show. Feel free to start discussions, ask questions, make comments, and dialogue. You can now follow His Excellency on Twitter. That's twitter.com. Search Tommy L. Hart. Again, Tommy L. Hart. You will find these links here on the show page. And remember, keep listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Back to you, my lord.
Thank you. I said we will visit Ezekiel 36:6, and we will. But first, allow me to say this. Do not let, the Bible said, and I gave this statement a week or two ago on the broadcast, lest thine eyes forget the things they have seen. Lest thine eyes, it says remember, lest thine eyes forget the things you have or they have seen. Don't let any preacher tell you the Bible doesn't talk about the Gentiles' conquest, invasion of Africa, and the scattering and enslavement of its inhabitants. Don't let any minister tell you that's not so. The Bible doesn't speak to those things. Remember what the Bible told you I would do, or the individual who fits the description of God would do. And I go back, because this is very important. John 16, it says, again, John 16:15. He shall take of mine and shall show it to you. I take scriptures and I show them to you. Now, okay, I'm doing what the Bible says. All right? And this poor man's voice, this poor man in his voice has said, remember, remember, remember what? One, black people. Two, ask yourself the question, were any black people ever taken from Africa, according to history, and scattered in other nations? Were they? Yes or no? Okay. Ask yourself the question, are there many black people who are bound, who are confined, who are restricted and kept within certain limits because, one, of their color, because two, a lack of sufficient money, and other things. Can you say yes to it or no? And don't just look at this date and time, okay? Look at black people's plight from the beginning, as far back as we can go, or as far back as history tells us. And history tells us what? Black people were what? Taken out of their land and scattered. Okay? So, now, with regard to those black people who were scattered, their progeny, their offspring, are many, most of them still in the land that they were in after they had been taken out of their homeland and scattered in other lands? Are the masses of those black people, you know, their children, their offspring, still there in those whatever lands? Is it yes or no? Okay, ask yourself this question. This poor man said in his voice and in his statement to God, he said, I am brought very low. Were black people ever brought very low? Was being a slave a high position or a very low position? Is the answer to that question yes or no? Were black people ever sold? History says yes. And there's a place not far from me where I live currently. They have a place still up, and people see it, from which they sold slaves. I can't think of the proper word, what they call it right now, but a place where slaves were sold. So the question to you is, were black people ever sold? Yes or no? Now, have black people borne shame of anything with regard to their past as a whole? Yes or no? Now, of course, the obvious answer to each of those questions is yes, yes. And I'm going slow with this. I'm going slow with this. Because the Bible told me to remember. It said, remember, and I brought this forth a week or so ago, remember and forget not. Now it's saying today, remember, O Lord, what has come upon us, black people. Okay? Ezekiel 36:6. Ezekiel 36:6. It's the last statement in the verse. It says, ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Now the word bore there, past tense, or born there rather, B-O-R-N-E, past tense of bear, ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Now, the Bible speaks about the people being scattered among the heathen. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. The Bible speaks about people being, black people being scattered among the heathen. Who were black people scattered among? they're scattered among the Gentiles. So the word heathen here in the Bible is a reference to the Gentiles. And a Gentile alias is white people. Okay? Ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Two things about that statement. I have borne the shame of the heathen, which means what? I have brought forth. One of the definitions of the word bear is to bring forth, produce. I have brought forth the shame of the heathen. What is their shame then? Their shame is in that which they have done, which by definition is outrageous. Okay? Immoral. Just wrong. So I have borne, I have brought forth the shame of the heathen using Bible content. Okay? And I'm speaking about that very thing today, and it's not the first time that I've spoken of it. Also, the word bear means to experience, endure. So, ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Black people have borne the shame of the heathen. And that shame here, first we had the word reproach, which is a cause of shame, and the black people have experienced or endured the shame of the heathen, the shame of the Gentiles, and that shame has to do with the evil that the Gentiles did to black people and against black people. The Bible speaks about these things. Okay? So, I have brought forth the shame of the heathen, and black people have borne or experienced and endured the shame of the heathen. We have gone through the enslavement era. Okay? And we have gone through it, spend just a little bit of time. In America, 45, 46 years. In the UK, add about another 35 years to that. So you're talking about 40, 50, 60, 70, 175 years since blacks were freed in the UK. Okay, and of course they were freed from other places as well. Okay? So, bottom line, the poor man says, Genesis 31:15, he points a finger. Genesis 31:15. He points a finger and he utters four words. He says, he hath sold us. All right. Now, sold, past tense of sale, S-E-L-L. Sale, its significance is to give up or deliver a person, group, etc. to his or their enemies or into slavery. Taken from Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. Okay? Sale, to give up or deliver a person, group, etc. To his or her or their enemies or deliver them into slavery. The poor man says, Genesis 31:15, he hath sold us. All right? Let's go to Psalm 106. Verse 41. The poor man takes us to Psalm 106, verse 41. remembering the definition of sell, and remembering what the poor man said, he has sold us. Psalm 106:41, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen. There's the word heathen again. Listen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Ask yourself the question, during any time of black people's history, has another people ever ruled over them? Slave masters ruled over their slaves. But let's go back to the he gave them. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen. This he is a reference to the Gentiles' Lord, their God, the papacy. Okay? Their head gave them into the hand of the heathen. And that takes us back to the curse, the objectives the papacy set down, and they are in Scripture, against black people. And those objectives were carried out by the Gentiles, and I know I won't get a chance to read the curse today. Okay? The papacy sold black people into the hand of the Gentiles. The papacy sold black people into the hand of the heathen or into the hand of the Gentiles. And they that hated them ruled over them. The slaveholders and those that dealt, the Gentiles that dealt in the slave trade and slave trafficking, I don't think they loved black people. They could not have. For the papacy and the Gentiles to reduce black people to the status of a commodity, a thing that is bought and sold, no, there was no love there for black people from the Gentiles. All right? I don't think we have any argument over that. He has sold us. Ezekiel 27:13, ask yourself the question, were black people ever sold? Ezekiel 27:13, the statement here. This is Bible. They traded the persons of men. They traded the persons of men. Okay? They traded. Traded, past tense. A form of the word trade. Trade, the significance of it is the buying and selling of commodities or the bartering of goods, commerce. B, commodity, anything bought and sold. C, what did the papacy and the Gentiles do to black people? They commodified black people. Commodify means to treat as or make into a mere commodity to be bought and sold. Black people were reduced to the status of a commodity, things or a thing bought and sold, black people were commodified. What did the Gentiles do to the Aboriginal people of what is now called Africa? I just said it, but let's say it again. Let's look at Luke 17:28. And remember, this is the voice of the poor man in the Bible. Okay. Luke 17:28 says, I'm just interested in these things right here. They bought, they sold. They commodified black people, they bought black people, and they sold black people. The poor man says, he hath sold us. Revelation 18:12-13. And after this, we'll go to the announcements again. And then we'll come back and I'll wrap it up. But let me read it from Revelation 18. First, it is Revelation 18, verses 12 through 13. This statement speaks of commodity, things bought and sold. Let me read, starting with verse 11 of Revelation 18. And the merchants... What do merchants do? Merchants buy and sell. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble, we're speaking about merchandise, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. Let's stop there at the end of verse 13, and go back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words to slaves. The statement is a statement with regard to merchandise, and there you see slaves. This question, were black people, ask your minister or ask yourself too, were black people ever regarded as slaves? If your answers are yes to any of the questions that I have posed for you, then the Bible indeed talks about the Gentile invasion, conquest, and subsequent scattering and enslavement, etc., of black people. And now, for the final announcements, Mr. Welch.
Thank you, Father. To the listeners, if you would like to receive your copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, go to www.lawmaster.co. That's www.lawmaster.co. On the left side of the webpage, click the manuscript and the PayPal button inscribed Donate. For a $12 donation, you will be redirected to a link and download your very own copy in PDF format. Also, become a member to the website and post videos, photos, and take advantage of the links, free books, and email feature amongst members. You can also visit us on YouTube. Go to www.youtube.com/Law of Gods. Again, youtube.com/Law of Gods. One word. You can find Mr. Hart on Facebook. Simply type The Book of the Law of God. You may post on the news feed any stories, links, videos, and articles relating to the context of the show. Feel free to start discussions, ask questions, make comments, and dialogue. You can now follow His Excellency on Twitter. That's twitter.com. Search Tommy L. Hart. Again, Tommy L. Hart. You will find these links here on the show page. And remember, keep listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Back to you, my lord.
Thank you, Mr. Milch. We have stopped streaming, but I continue on here to wrap this up. Okay. Let's go to Psalm 106:41. And I just read that a little while ago. Okay, He gave them into the hand of the heathen. Okay. He gave them into the hand of the heathen. And the he is a reference to the papacy. And they that hated them ruled over them. Verse 42. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Ask again, were black people ever brought into subjection to any people? Okay, if the answer is yes, then you know the rest. The poor man's voice is authentic. It is real. Okay? The poor man's voice is real. Leviticus 26:25. Okay, Leviticus 26:25. This has been fulfilled. Ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Black people were delivered by the papacy into the hand of the heathen, which is a reference, a biblical reference to Gentiles. Okay. All right. Lamentations. The book of Lamentations 5:5. The poor man is still speaking. The poor man, his voice. We're still dealing with his voice. Even today, black people in news, are described as being poor. Poor. Okay? We know that. Lamentations 5:5. Our necks are under persecution. Listen, we labor and have no rest. Did slaves labor? And did they get sufficient rest? Deuteronomy 28. Okay, let's see here. Listen to this. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. Consider this. Keep in mind. Keep this in mind also, that it was as though the Gentiles could kill a slave or a black person at their will, anytime they saw fit, without a trial or anything. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night. Did slaves fear? Did they have any fear of their Gentile captors? And shalt have none assurance of thy life. these things that I have presented today and am presenting are descriptive of slaves. They are descriptive of black people after they had been captured, etc., by the Gentiles. Okay. That was Lamentations 5:5. Our next are under persecution. Look up the word persecution. We labor and have no rest. The word persecution there means cruel oppression, affliction. Leviticus 16:20. Leviticus 16:20. Okay, let's see here. I got an incorrect reference here. So let's move on. Lamentations, back to Lamentations 5, verse 11. Listen, the poor man is still speaking. And as we noted and noticed at the beginning, his words, well, the Lord is the object of his voice. The Lord is the object of his words. Lamentations 5:11. They ravished the women. Just that. A definition of ravish is rape. They ravished the women. Did Gentiles ravish black women when they held them in slavery? Lamentations 5:2. Our inheritance is turned to strangers and our houses to aliens. What happened to the land of Africa when the Gentiles conquered and took possession of its people, Aboriginal black people? They took the land and all resources and everything else into their own possession. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. So the heathen, the Gentiles, were strangers in Africa, as black people were strangers and are strangers in other foreign lands, in other lands that they were scattered in. Okay, here, Lamentations 5:3. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. Think about the slaves' children. The babies were taken away from the mothers, and slaves were not married. Okay, slaves were not allowed to marry. Slaves were commodities. They were things. They were reduced. They were taken out of the classification of human beings, Homo sapiens. They were reduced to the status of a thing. Are things, okay? And things don't marry. All right? We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. The Bible, the poor man's voice. I shall continue this, but I want to end this with his prayer, the ending of his prayer. I might have to do that next time. Try to get the mic in. Okay, let's see here. Okay, I don't have that reference right at hand, so one thing here. One thing here. In review, the poor man's voice. I am black. I was stolen away. I am bound, confined, imprisoned, kept within certain limits. I am an alien in the heathen's sight. I have been an alien in a strange land. I am brought very low, for we and our people are sold, and my people to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. Consider, behold our reproach, their cause of shame. Black people have borne the shame of the heathen. They have experienced and endured the shame of the Gentiles. The charge there accuses the Gentiles of selling black people. The papacy sold black people into the hands of their enemies, the Gentiles. The poor man says their necks are under cruel oppression or persecution. They labor and have no rest. Their strength was spent in vain. He says in the book of Luke, we are unprofitable servants. Slaves were not paid to do what to perform their works or their work. They were not. We know the story. We know it. Okay. Listen, Job 19:18. Yeah, yay. Young children despised me. Isn't that something? The Gentile children despised the black people they call slaves. The young children despised the black people they called slaves. They ravished the black women, their inheritance was turned over to strangers, their houses to aliens. And we have heard from the poor man. His voice is being heard. That's what he is. That is voice. And until the next time, that's it for today. Mr. Welch? Mr. Welch, are you there? Okay, Mr. Welch has gone. That's it for today. And until next time, hope to see you next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Right here on Lawmasters Law of God broadcast. Thank you.
Mr. Hart, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. I apologize for that. I had my phone on mute on the switchboard.
Uh-huh.
So if it's nothing else, I would like to continue the show at this time. I have a few things that I'd like to come across or bring across.
Okay.
First off, a wonderful show. Very informative. And I hope that our listeners will take advantage of your lectures and learn the truth. There were so many things that came up as you were speaking about the poor man and the heathen and the state of black people as a result of enslavement. And I want to go back and mention about the heathen that you brought up. And there's a an Egyptian proverb where it states, lo, the miserable Asiatic. And I want to talk about this Asiatic for a second. When you see the term Asiatic, you see the word Asia, but this particular term is not speaking on Asians. It's talking about the Asiatic, in other words, those from West Asia, and it's also the proper term for the heathen. And there was a pharaoh, and his name is unmentioned, during the Ninth Dynasty in the year 3000 BCE. And this is what he states about the Asiatic before the first Eurasian invasion of Egypt by the Hyksos. And this is what he passed on to his heir, this following wisdom. He said, lo, the miserable Asiatic, he is wretched because of the place he is in, short of water, bare of wood. Its paths are many and painful because of mountains. He does not dwell in one place. Food propels his legs. He fights since the time of Heru. And what he means by the time of Heru is Heru was brought about in ancient Egypt around 5000 BCE or more. So he's talking, he has about a 2,000 year record that he's speaking on with respect to the Asiatic. And these people he speaks of are cave dwellers. And if you look throughout European history, even Plato talks about it in his classic, the Plato's Republic. And he talks about what takes place in the mindset of a cave dweller. And these people didn't just live in the mouth of the cave. These caves were very deep, sometimes 2, 3, 4, even 5 levels down. And these people would spend their entire existence in these caves. And I've heard Dr. Africa state at one point that, he mentioned that Plato states that, living in a cave distorts your reality forever. And, pardon me, when your reality is distorted like that, and on top of it, you're looking at Mother Nature, up in the north, northern hemisphere, you're living in a land that is bare, you're incapable of growing. The seasons are short. The growing seasons are very short, so there isn't much that grows there. And what does grow there, you have a very short period of time of growing it. And so therefore, you develop a relationship with Mother Nature that is of mistrust, no trust, because you're dealing with cold elements and whatnot. And why am I saying all this? Because we're talking about a mindset versus what was the mindset of an African who, the African continent is a continent of plenty, of resources, of abundance. And so therefore, instead of us having a relationship with objects, we developed a culture, or I should say developed a relationship with one another versus developing a relationship with objects, because we didn't know, we did not have a concept of scarcity, in other words. So we were able to develop relationships with one another. Whereas the people that were in the northern hemisphere had to develop a relationship with their objects rather than people, because these, when you're dealing with an atmosphere of scarcity, you got to keep these other people away from your things because they'll take them. And so that's ultimately what took place on the African continent with Europeans coming in and colonizing Africa, and really that colonization was nothing more than them acting out their psychosis of scarcity through cleverness, deceit, and of course violence. So we have to understand that they've developed an entire culture on deceit and violence, and that is what we are still victims of today. Is this psychosis, this mindset, and you know you'll see people say, well, I just don't see that going on right now. They'll say that racism doesn't exist any longer. But I have to tell you, I think you've proven it through today's broadcast. So what would you say to that, Mr. Hart?
What would I say to what, racism existing? Or all that you said?
Oh no, just all of that I've said about the heathen and the historical account. Because if you look back at the story of Moses, they talk about how he delivered the Israelites from bondage. But if you go back to ancient Egyptian history, you will not see a record of that. And the Egyptians recorded everything, but they didn't record that. So one would have to question the story of Moses and also the intent, the ultimate objective of these people and why they would use deception. What are your comments on that?
Okay, well, one, I have already concluded that the characters in the Bible are fictitious characters, except with reference to Gentiles, the papacy, and God. But characters such as those having one name, Moses, Jesus, Jonah, and all like that, they are just that, just characters in a story. It's not the characters that are important or of the essence, but it is what is being said, in the book of the law. Now, with regard to what you said at first, I can't make any comments because I haven't studied that. And I try to make myself clear when I speak in the episodes and show what the Bible says to be the case. And as in the Gentiles' invasion of Africa, takeover of its lands, resources, et cetera, and people, scattering the people, enslaving the people, and all like that. And that's wherein my expertness lies within Bible law. And, I mean, when you talk like that, I can only listen, you know, listen and learn. But I can't make a comment, you know, just right off the top of my head on it. Mr. Welch?
Yes, sir. Pardon me. All right. Well,
now, it's clear in the Bible that, as I said today, that there's no love between coming from Gentiles to black people. And I think the Bible wants that to be known. I know I want to make it known because I'm learning from the Bible myself as far as the real motive behind Gentile actions, knowing that the papacy is their head, and that they are, well, what's amazing to me is just the information that the Bible presents in regard to it. The Bible, I take it to be, its essence to be truth, as today and what the poor man was saying in his voice, the things that has happened to himself and his people is something to me that the Gentiles would put that in the Bible, things like that, that wherein they actually tell about themselves and they tell on themselves in the Bible. And that's just, it's just amazing to me, for lack of a better term right now. You know what I'm saying, Mr. Welch?
Yes, sir. And I find it amazing that, for me, I've been studying various history books, and I've read many forms of literature over the past 20 years. And here it is, you, I just find this to be brilliant, that you were able to take one book, the King James Bible, and virtually speak on everything that it took me 20 years of reading various forms of literature to figure out, which proves again that the information is out there. Our vision, our ability to critically analyze has been atrophied, and there's just so much evidence coming from Bible content, as well as through the literature that's put out there of these things. And so therefore, I find it hard to believe that no one has stepped forward to refute anything that you say. I find that very, very strange. That no one has appeared at this time, and it could be that the evidence is so overwhelming, till no one is willing to step forth, or it could be the fact that the millions of people out there who are listening to you know that what this calls for is a complete revamping of their understanding. And I think that scares a lot of people. But some of the evidence that I've come across to help, when you were speaking on the poor man, I read a report some while ago called The Unrealized American Dream, and it talks about 40 years later after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. And the key findings in this report, it says here, and this is a report that was put out by Tedric Muhammad. He's with the Program of Inequality and the Common Good, which is a project of the Institute for Policy Studies. This came out exactly 3 years ago in April of 2008. And some of the key findings that Mr. Muhammad points out in his report are staggering. And I'm turning to the page now. I'm going to just read a few. Just a moment. He states, despite educational advances, economic equality for African Americans, it's still a dream, not reality. What he says is, it will take more than 537 more years, and I'll say it again, more than 537 more years for blacks to reach income equality with whites if the income gap continues to close at the same rate it has since Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. If the racial wealth divide continues to close as slowly as it has since 1983, it will take 634 years for blacks to reach wealth equality with whites. Today, a third of the black workforce earns less than $385 per week before taxes. and less than $20,000 annually before taxes. I'll say it again. Today, a third of the black workforce earns less than $385 per week before taxes, less than $20,000 annually. 40 years since Dr. King called for the abolition of poverty, the annual decline of poverty for black children is about a quarter of a percentage point per year. At this rate, it will take over a century to end poverty for black children. And today, a third of black children live in poverty. And that's just a snapshot of some of the statistics. This is a report that is 18 pages long. I think what I'm going to do is create a link on the website. If you want to go to lawmaster.co, I will post this report as one of the links. It's called The Unrealized American Dream from the Institute for Policy Studies. And that's just an example of what is happening to the poor man. Mr. Harvey.
Okay. That's good information there. I know that we are behind the Gentiles in income and all. But with me, there is a more pressing issue, because as long as we work for Gentiles and all, I mean, you know what I'm saying, they're going to always keep the upper hand as long as we have to work for them and all like that. And nothing's much going to change there. But what I'm overwhelmed with is a whole race of people that's been deceived by the Gentiles. And now, as I said, and maybe I've said this on this program, but I don't want to be too repetitious, but for us to still be talking about Jesus, and Jesus is a fictitious character in the Bible, and talking about we're waiting on him to come back and all like that, a whole race has been deceived that needs to change. That's very pressing, you know, to me. Not to put down money and income, you know, rise and all like that, not putting that down at all, but everything has its place. And you know, there are some men who we don't all have the same talents or gifts or and all like that. My thing has to do with getting blacks enlightened on Bible content, because that's what has deceived so many blacks worldwide, and that needs to change, because, you know, we're looked upon as being ignorant. You know, we're looked upon as being ignorant. To take a fable, a concocted story, and take that as truth, and to say, place our trust in that. That is terrible. That is a thing which the poor man in his voice raises. I didn't get to that point today. I'll do that next week. But yes, everything has its place, and every man has his work to do and all. I don't put down another man's work. But this is just something we all need. We all need truth of Bible content. We all need to come out of our state of deception and rise to the light, if you will. You know what I'm saying? That's a global thing. Black people are not the only ones who've been deceived. So with this information, let me say this. I wanted to bring this up during the main program today. I'll do it next week, but just to give a foretaste of it, there's a statement that says in Hebrews 11, I believe, and I want to hurry up, Hebrews 11, it says, okay, Psalm 163. There ain't no 163. What is that? Oh, okay, just one moment. Let me get my glasses. One moment. Okay. I did put down. It's just 150 Psalms. Why did I put down Psalm 163? But anyway, the statement says this. He which led them through the wilderness. He who led them through the wilderness. That's what I'm doing. Okay? My mother said every frog praises its own pond. And that's a true statement. That's a true statement. But that statement says this. He who led them through the wilderness. That's what I'm doing. Wilderness there in the Bible is a reference to Bible content. Bible content is like a wilderness. Being, in other words, like a wilderness. It is uncultivated. It is undeveloped, you know. So is Bible content in its pure form, you know, just the Bible itself, as things are in the Bible. Bible content is a wilderness. Its crucial content is uncultivated. It's undeveloped. It's not clarified. What I have clarified Bible content, I have cultivated it and made it sensible and understandable. And my point in saying that is this, that the purpose of this program is just that, to give light to the people and to lead them through the Bible. As it says Moses, which I know is a fictitious character, But the statement there doesn't say Moses. It just says he who led them through the wilderness is a reference to the one they call God in leading, and it says his people in leading black people to the truth of Bible content. This is a hard job, hard being that the people are not as receptive as I once thought they would be, you know. It is a job that I have taken on, and to try to do my best. And I forgot the point that I was trying to make, Mr. Welch, and I'm sorry for that. But that's where I am, bringing light to the people, and wanting and hoping that this information will catch on with black people. And that we as a people can come to the truth and rise to the occasion of truth and I believe this is crucial, coming to the truth of Bible content versus staying in the dark and being viewed by others as being ignorant and can't tell a fable when you see one, you know. And just for the people that keep lying and lying, and we keep believing the lie, saying Jesus is coming. They're saying Jesus is coming soon before I was born. You know what I'm saying? And look at all the people who've died thinking that Jesus was coming and still, you know, die daily thinking that Jesus is coming. And it's just a farce, it's a hoax. Put forth by the Gentiles, strengthened daily by the Gentiles, you could say, because they're always talking about it. The ministers always preaching the lies and all like that. But if we can just, and I appreciate you in working with me and doing. what you're doing, you know, taking on the work that you've taken. That's a great work within itself, you know, all that you are doing, you know, to help get our people to see the truth of Bible content. And it's a work that I'm not ashamed of. Those who are teaching, you know, in religion and teaching Jesus, you know, they should be ashamed of what they're doing. But you're doing a great work, and I'm proud to have you with me. And that's just it, Mr. Welch.
Yes, sir. You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because today they are the Christians are observing Easter. And I also, and I'm going to post this up on the Facebook page, the Book of the Law of God. It's a front cover of a magazine called Newsmax, and they ask the Jesus question: will he ever return? And of course, they have a picture of a Gentile who is supposed to be this Jesus on one knee with his arms stretched out into the sky, and he's looking up, and they're asking the question, will he ever return? And so it says, in these deeply troubled times, the question rises to the fore, is Jesus Christ about to come back? Is the second coming real or myth? So somebody out there is questioning whether the veracity of the story of Jesus. And I tell you this, Mr. Hart, this is a very important period that we're going to go through, because, you know, in the context of what's happening around the world in terms of the financial system is in collapse, and the Gentiles are scurrying to remain in control. And you're seeing all kinds of things that are taking place in the world with respect to natural disasters and whatnot. So quite naturally, the average person is going to ask, well, you know, is this the time? Is this it? Is this when we're going to see Jesus? How much work can it get before he comes back? I can tell you this. Things are pretty bad for a lot of people, you know. And so therefore, that's why these questions are going to be asked by many people these days. And again, I'm going to post this up on Facebook, the Book of the Law of God, and let the people judge themselves. There was one other thing, yeah, talking about Easter. A lot of people, I was in the drugstore yesterday, and I was standing behind a young lady, and she was getting Easter baskets. It looked like she was there were for two young boys. And I thought to myself, here we go, you know, all of the, you know, clothes, the new clothes, the haircuts and whatnot, hairdos, everybody's getting ready to go into the church houses today and put on the show. The big show is today. And tonight, what you're going to see all over the television is the usual movies, the Ten Commandments, Cleopatra, anything that has to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And a lot of people don't realize that the resurrection has nothing to do with a man named Jesus. And I'll just leave it right there for now and turn it back over to you, Mr. Hart. What are your thoughts on Easter? And I've studied it, like I said. I know the origin of Easter, where it really comes from and whatnot. But I want to hear your thoughts on it. And is there any reference to anything like it in Bible content?
There's a reference to Easter in the Book of Acts, but as far as my take on Easter, I see it just as another Gentile holiday. The Gentiles know why they celebrate these holidays and all like that. It's black people who don't know why. you know, we celebrate them because the Gentiles celebrate them. After we were freed, you know the story, after we were freed, emancipated and all, we started doing the things, you know, that we had seen them and we're seeing them do, as observed Christmas, Easter, et cetera, you know. But we know that the story of Jesus, you know, is fictitious and all like that. But like I said, as far as their reasons for celebrating their things, you know, that's them, you know. They never told us the real reasons why they do things. They never told us the real truth about Bible content. You know what I'm saying? They never told us anything truthfully, you know. But I'm so glad that they do have a book that they put truth in, you see. And that's the thing right there, that book. What have they said and done in that book? It's good to know the book. So I say to black people, it's good that we have somebody now who has done the work in scrutinizing, analyzing Bible content and laying it out, putting it in order, as the Bible says, putting the things in order where people can understand them and see them and make these things known, whereby hopefully people will change, because that's the reason for truth, to change, to turn the people, you know, from their deception. Mr. Welch?
Yes, I just posted the link to Facebook. So,
okay, good. Good move.
Again, there will be other links that I'm going to post to the website, free documents, and that completes it for me today. Again, it was a wonderful broadcast, and again, I hope our listeners go to lawmaster.co and check out some of the videos and other documents that we have pertaining to Bible content and anything related. Also, you can find us on youtube.com/lawmaster, where I will be posting many of the interviews that Mr. Hart and I have. So there, we're working to get the information out there, and we hope that you would join us. Mr. Hart?
Yes, I have one statement I'd like to make. There's a statement in a little small book called Second or either Third John. If you go too fast, you might miss it. But the statement says, "Look ye to yourselves. Look ye to yourselves. Black people, look ye to yourselves. You have a man, you have a person in me who has discovered the truth of Bible content. And I bid you come. Come to the light. Come to the truth. And let's look, you know what I'm saying? And just don't think about what the Gentiles are doing. Are these things truth that he's teaching? Do I shed like I did on the program? Ask yourself this question. Do I give understanding, any understanding at all of Bible content? Yes or no? If your answer is no, don't listen to me again. Don't even mess with it. If your answer is yes, give yourself to it. Join me. Join us. Join us. You know? Look ye to yourselves. We are a people. You can trust my work. You can trust my word because it gives sense to Bible content. Other than that, you just have a book of stories that have nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you, you know, and not going to profit you at all. At all. And you just have a vain hope and a dead faith. But you have a book in the Bible that gives you a leader, number one, who gives you understanding and can form the basis of black people uniting around the truth being the core, the center of attraction, if you will. Truth, Bible content, truth of Bible content being that which attracts us and draws us and brings us together. Because we certainly have been lied to. We certainly have been duped and tricked. We need to become unduped and untricked and know the truth, as the Bible says. That's a commandment. You shall know the truth, just like you shall not kill. You shall know the truth. Okay? And tune in. Keep listening to the program. If you enjoy it, keep listening and join with us. Let us hear from you physically by email, by a message on my page, or any of the other ways that Mr. Welch has given you. Contact us. Don't be a secret listener. Be an active, involved listener. Mr. Welch, that's it for me.